Ricardo's story.
Turn, Ricardo! Turn the wheel! Ah!
The sound of Pablo's screams mixed with the sound of the car hitting the lamppost and with Ricardo's own screams as he woke up. Was it just a bad dream? As Ricardo looked around the hospital room and felt the pain in his left shoulder, he realized that his dream had probably happened. There were a million different questions in his mind. How did he get here? Did he really crash his father's car? How did he get the car? The last thing that he remembered was drinking calimochos with Raúl and some other friends on the street. Pablo! He had also been in the dream. Pablo was with him when the accident occurred. Although they had been lifelong friends, they had recently drifted apart. Was Pablo also injured? Was he alive? Ricardo was filled with feelings of guilt and desperation, and a desire to turn back the clock to before the accident. The door opened. It was a nurse. She looked at Ricardo and smiled.
Well, you're finally awake. You've had quite a long sleep, young man. You arrived here at 2 a.m. on Saturday. It's now 9 p.m. on Sunday. You've been unconscious for 43 hours. How are you feeling?
Not very well, answered Ricardo.
Don't worry, that's to be expected, said the nurse. You're lucky to be alive, you know. You were in a serious accident. Anyway, let me inform your parents. They're in the hospital cafeteria.
The nurse turned to walk out of the room.
Wait, exclaimed Ricardo. Was there another boy in the accident? Is he okay?
The nurse stopped in the doorway and turned. The smile disappeared from her face.
Yes, he's alive and he'll be fine. Let's leave it at that for now.
No, I need to know what's happened to him, said Ricardo.
Ricardo, the most important thing for you right now is to get some rest. We can talk tomorrow.
But I can't rest until I know whether he's okay or not.
Ricardo!
Please, nurse, you've got to tell me.
The nurse sighed.
Listen, Ricardo, I'm sorry to say your friend was badly hurt. He has a broken right leg, his hip is broken in two places, and his left foot is crushed. He almost lost it.
Will he be able to walk again?
The nurse paused before answering.
We hope so. However, it's going to be a long and difficult recovery process. He'll also have to have more operations to remove the pins. They're basically holding the bottom half of his body together at the moment.
Which room is he in? I need to see him, said Ricardo.
Ricardo, you can't get out of bed until the day after tomorrow. He's in room 544. You can phone him if you like. I'll go and tell your parents that you're awake.
His parents. Ricardo was sure that they would be furious with him. They had many good reasons to be angry. For a start, he didn't have a driving license. Then, he took the car without their permission and drove it drunk. Worst of all, he had almost killed one of his friends. He dreaded seeing his parents. He knew that the consequences of his actions would be severe. Yet at the same time, he needed to see them. Maybe they had more information about the accident. Pablo could also tell him what had happened. He needed to call him before his parents arrived. If he had more information about the accident, he would be able to defend himself better with his parents. Ricardo picked up the receiver and dialed Pablo's room.
Hello?
Pablo, it's Ricardo. I wanted to say that I'm really sorry about...
What?
Do you really care about me? Interrupted Pablo. You don't care about anyone except yourself. Leave me alone. That's not true. I'm very worried about you. You're my friend. I'm sorry that you're hurt. I know it's my fault. I just wanted to...
Shut up!
I don't want to talk to you. You're not my friend. You're just a pathetic alcoholic who feels guilty. You want me to take your guilt away by forgiving you. That would make everything very easy, wouldn't it? Well, I'm not going to make things easy for you. Why should I?
Do you know how long I'll have to be in this hospital? Do you know what I'll have to go through before I can walk normally again? That is, if I ever can walk normally again. All you care about is drinking and acting cool. Have a good life.
Pablo hung up before Ricardo could answer. The door to his room opened before he could call his friend again. It was his parents.
Ricardo, thank God you're awake. We've been so worried about you, exclaimed his mother.
There were tears in her eyes as she ran to him and hugged him. Ricardo's father moved to the other side of the bed. He also had tears in his eyes. Ricardo had never seen his father cry before.
How are you feeling, son?
Okay, I suppose. Listen, Mum, Dad, I'm really sorry.
Shh! Interrupted his mother.
We know you're sorry. Let's not concentrate on what's happened. We want to concentrate on your future.
But I smashed the car up, didn't I? Insisted Ricardo.
Yes, you did, answered his mother. But luckily it was fully insured. What's important is that you're alive and that you'll get better.
Your mother is right, said Ricardo's father. The most important thing is that you're going to get better.
But, exclaimed Ricardo, aren't you angry at me? Aren't you going to punish me? I mean, I was drunk and I drove your car without your permission. It's my fault that one of my best friends is badly hurt. He won't talk to me. He won't even let me tell him that I'm sorry.
Ricardo's speech was cut short by a wave of emotion, and he began to cry uncontrollably. His mother held his hand as she and his father watched their son silently. Once Ricardo had regained his composure, his father spoke.
Ricardo, we haven't had time to be angry, he said. We've been very, very worried about you. You've survived a terrible accident which was caused by a very serious drinking problem. I don't think there's any need for us to punish you. I think you'll have more than enough time to punish yourself during the next few days in hospital. I only hope that you use this time to reflect on the consequences of your social drinking and your new choice of friends. Maybe now you'll pay a little more attention to what your mother and I have been trying to tell you for the last few months.
I will, Dad, I promise, said Ricardo. I'm sorry, said the nurse as she entered the room. Visiting hours ended just as Ricardo woke up. I ignored the hospital regulations so that you had a chance to talk to your son, but now I must ask you to leave. Don't worry about him, he's in good hands.
Ricardo's parents kissed him goodnight and promised to visit him the following day. Before his father walked through the doorway, he stopped and turned to look at Ricardo.
I want you to do one thing during these next few days, he said. I want you to count how many times Raúl and your other new friends come and visit you here. It's in situations like this that you discover who your real friends are. Good night, son.
Once he was left alone in the room, Ricardo turned the television on, but he couldn't concentrate. He turned the sound down and stared at the images while he thought about how much his life had changed in such a short time. He felt like a completely different person, like an idiot. He used to be an excellent student, the top of his class. Now, for the first time in his life, he was going to fail all his exams. He used to have a very close relationship with his parents. He had trusted them completely and could talk to them about anything. Recently, he had barely spoken to them, and when he did, it was usually to have an argument. Until tonight, he'd thought that the breakdown in communication was their fault. Until now, he'd been convinced that it was them who had changed. They had been trying to take away his freedom. They weren't treating him like an adult. They were determined to continue treating him like a little boy. As the images from the television began to blur before his eyes, he began to realize that it wasn't them who were to blame. It was him. Ricardo woke up screaming the next morning. He had dreamed about the accident again. He felt a hand holding his hand. It was his mother. She was sitting next to the bed. She reminded him that he was only dreaming, that he was safe. He was happy to be with her. They talked about his plans for the future and laughed until midday. It seemed like an eternity since they had been so comfortable with each other. Ricardo continued thinking about his future after his mother left. She had said something that morning that stayed on his mind for the rest of the day. "Ricardo, I'm not going to dictate to you who your friends should be. You're old enough to decide that yourself. I just want you to think about one thing. Do Raúl or any of your other new friends have a clear idea of what they want to do with their lives? Do they have any aspirations or any plans for the future? You've always had very clear ideas about what you wanted to do with your life. From what you've told me this morning, these ideas haven't changed. Do your new friends understand and respect who you are and who you want to be?" Ricardo already knew the answer to his mother's questions. No one in his new group of friends cared about their future. They laughed at students who tried to do well at school. Ironically, he had been one of those students before he met Raúl. He thought about the day that he'd met him. It was at the beginning of the school year. Both he and Pablo were starting a new school on the other side of town. They had changed schools because their previous one didn't offer the technical courses that they both needed in order to specialize in electronic engineering. Neither of them knew anyone in this new school. Ricardo was forced to attend the first day without Pablo because his friend had a bad cold. He remembered how nervous and alone he'd felt. As he'd approached the main entrance of the school, Ricardo noticed that there was a group of tough-looking boys standing next to the main door. They were insulting and laughing at other students as they walked into the building. The other students seemed to be afraid of this group. Ricardo knew that he would be an easy target for them. He wished that he could find some other way to enter the building without having to pass by the group, but he could only see one entrance. He gathered up his courage and began walking towards the door. As he passed them, he could feel their eyes on him. "Don't show any fear," he thought. "Just keep walking. Act like you belong here." It was working. He was past the group, and they hadn't bothered him.
"Hey, you!"
said a voice from behind him. Ricardo froze.
"Are you deaf? I'm talking to you."
Ricardo wished he could disappear. "Don't show them that you're scared," he thought. He turned around and faced the group of boys.
"Who are you? I've never seen you here before,"
said one of the boys as he approached Ricardo.
"My name's Ricardo. I'm from the other side of town."
"Really? How nice," answered the boy sarcastically. "Well, my name is Raúl, and I'd like to inform you that we don't like idiots from the other side of town coming here."
"I'm sorry to hear that," responded Ricardo.
"I thought that idiots like you enjoyed the company of idiots like me."
The words came out of his mouth before he realized what he was saying. "Oh no," he thought, "I'm a dead man." Everyone in the group froze. There was a silence that seemed to last for an eternity. It took all of Ricardo's courage to continue looking at Raúl. Finally, a smile appeared on Raúl's face. Suddenly he began to laugh.
"That's good," he said. "This idiot does enjoy the company of idiots like you. You've got character. Here, let me introduce you to the rest of these idiots."
Ricardo was introduced to the rest of the group. He agreed to meet them after school to celebrate their new friendship. During the rest of the day, he discovered that no one had ever talked back to Raúl before. Everyone was scared of him. News of Ricardo's encounter with Raoul spread quickly around the school. Although Ricardo was a completely new student, everyone seemed to know who he was and treated him with respect. He liked feeling famous. He met Raoul and the rest of the group later that afternoon. Raoul collected money from everyone and bought cheap red wine and Coca-Cola. They went to a nearby park and began drinking calimochos. It was the first time that Ricardo had tasted this mixture. Until that day, the only alcohol he had drunk was an occasional glass of wine with dinner at home. This was different. It tasted like a soft drink. He also liked the effect it had on him. Everything seemed funnier. He didn't feel shy anymore. He wasn't scared to make a fool of himself. Actually, his new friends encouraged him to act crazy. He felt great. He felt cool. After a while, the good feelings began to evaporate. He began to have a cold sweat and to feel dizzy. He tried to maintain his composure, but as the minutes passed, this became more and more difficult. Raoul looked at him. "Are you okay?" he asked. "No," Ricardo responded. "I'm not feeling too good. I don't know what's wrong with me." As he finished speaking, he ran to some nearby bushes and began vomiting violently. He could hear the laughter from the rest of the group. He felt completely humiliated. He wanted to run away. Before he could distance himself from the group, Raoul approached him, smiling.
"So, this is the first time that you've thrown up. Don't worry, we've all done it. Think of it as an initiation into the group. Now you're really one of us," he said.
By the time Ricardo got home, the effects of the alcohol had almost disappeared. Luckily, his father hadn't come home from work yet, but his mother noticed that something was wrong with him.
"Ricardo, are you okay? You don't look very good," she said.
"I think I'm getting Pablo's cold," he answered, looking at the floor. He didn't want his mother to smell the alcohol on his breath. "If it's okay with you, I'm going to go straight to bed."
He headed for his room before his mother could get any closer to him.
"I'll warm up some milk and bring it to you with some aspirin," his mother called after him.
"No, that's okay, Mum. I just need to sleep. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine in the morning. Good night,"
he said as he closed the bedroom door behind him. Ricardo wasn't fine the next morning. He had a headache and he felt really tired. When he arrived at school, he mentioned this to Raoul.
"You've got a hangover. I've got the perfect antidote for your condition. Come with me," said Raoul as he started to walk away from the school.
"Wait, where are we going?
Classes are going to start in 5 minutes. We don't have time to go anywhere."
"You want to feel better, don't you? What's more important, your health or missing one stupid class? Don't worry, we'd be back in time for the second class of the day. Nothing is going to happen if you miss one class. Come on."
"Okay. Where are we going?" asked Ricardo.
"To get you a beer. It's the best cure for a hangover. Trust me. Plus, I'm feeling generous today. I'll pay."
Raoul bought 2 bottles of beer, and they went to the park to drink them. Ricardo realized that Raoul was right. After drinking half the bottle, he felt better. By the time they had finished both bottles, Ricardo was feeling as happy as the day before. They didn't return to school that day. A few days later, Pablo was finally healthy enough to start school. As he approached the building, he saw Ricardo standing with a group of boys.
"Hey, Ricardo," he called.
Ricardo turned and saw his friend.
"Pablo, come here. I want you to meet some people."
After the introductions were made, Pablo turned to Ricardo.
"Could you show me around the school? I feel completely lost here," he said.
"Sure," answered Ricardo. He turned to Raoul and the group. "I'm going to show the new kid around. I'll see all of you tonight at the park." Pablo turned to Ricardo as they were entering the school.
"Are those guys friends of yours?" he asked. "They look like criminals."
My dear friend, answered Ricardo, haven't you heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover? It doesn't matter what they look like or if they're good students or not. They're cool people and a lot of fun. Listen, come with me tonight to the park. We're going to have a little party there. You can get to know them better. As it was a Friday, Pablo agreed and went with Ricardo to the park later that evening. Pablo could see that Ricardo was partially right. Raúl's group were relatively nice people, but by midnight, everyone except Pablo was very drunk. The evening had lost its enchantment. Pablo turned to Ricardo. Listen, Ricardo, it's getting late and I'm really tired, he said. I think I'm going to go home.
Don't say that, shouted Ricardo. Come on, stay a little longer. Yeah, don't leave us now, echoed the rest of the group.
Pablo looked at them and sighed. Okay, I'll stay for one more hour. That hour converted itself into 3 hours, and Pablo eventually became as drunk as the others. Pablo felt horrible the following day. He didn't have the energy to call Ricardo until 6 o'clock that afternoon. Ricardo's mother answered the phone.
Oh, hello, Pablo. How are you feeling today? I hope you're a little better than Ricardo. It seems that you boys had a wild party last night.
Yes, we did, and I'm paying the price for it today.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having a little fun, as long as you know how to control yourself. I assume that you've both learned an important lesson.
Yes, we have.
Good. I'll tell Ricardo that you're on the phone. Give your parents my regards, Pablo. Bye.
Pablo, are you feeling as bad as I am today? Asked Ricardo when he got to the phone.
Yes, I am.
Ricardo laughed.
What a great night. I don't remember half of what we did.
Listen, we'll be meeting at the park again this evening. Let's see if we can have an even wilder night tonight.
I thought that we could go to the cinema or play some poker instead, said Pablo. It's been a while since we've done either. Plus, to be honest with you, I didn't enjoy myself very much last night. There are other things I prefer doing than standing outside in the cold drinking.
It isn't just standing outside and drinking. It's having a good time, said Ricardo angrily. Listen, we're not children anymore. This is a more adult way of spending time with your friends. You want to go to the cinema? That's for children, dreamers and idiots. The only thing that matters is living life yourself, not watching someone else's version of reality on the screen. Reality exists on the streets. What's wrong with you, Pablo? Do you want to be a kid all your life?
What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? Are you really enjoying yourself? Is there any kind of future in what you're doing?
Hey, don't preach to me. You're not my father.
No, I'm not your father. I'm your friend, and you're starting to worry me.
Well, don't worry about me. I'm old enough to take care of myself. Listen, if you're really my friend, prove it by coming with me tonight. If not, I don't care. I've got other friends who know how to really live.
For a moment, neither of them said anything. Finally, Pablo spoke. I feel sorry for you, Ricardo.
Go to hell!
Yelled Ricardo as he hung up the phone. Who did Pablo think he was to judge him and his new friends? Ricardo was convinced that Pablo was jealous. Well, he didn't need him anymore. He had Raúl and the rest of the gang. Ricardo didn't attend school again for over a week. When Pablo finally saw him in class, he went to talk to him.
Listen, Ricardo, I'm worried about you. You hardly ever come to school. If you continue missing classes, you'll fail this year.
Are you my mother now? Said Ricardo sarcastically. Listen, I don't need any advice from idiots like you. Leave me alone.
If that's the way you feel about me, fine, said Pablo. It was good being your friend. Have a nice life.
Ricardo and Pablo stopped talking to each other after that. Ricardo was spending more time with Raúl and his new friends and less time at school.
He began to arrive home drunk more and more often. He even stopped trying to hide his drinking from his parents. There was no point anymore. The school had called them to find out why Ricardo was missing so many classes. But when his parents expressed their worries about his drinking or the possibility of him failing at school, Ricardo became defensive.
"Leave me alone. What do you know about having a good time? It's only social drinking. Why are you constantly trying to control me? I'm old enough to take care of myself."
These arguments became routine and usually ended with Ricardo leaving his parents' flat in search of his friends and some drinks, while his father consoled his crying mother. 2 weeks later, the intercom rang in the flat at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. It was the doorman calling from downstairs. He wanted to inform Ricardo's parents that their son was sleeping on the floor in front of the lifts. The doorman had found him in this state when he arrived a few minutes before. Ricardo woke up in his bed a few hours later. He was already accustomed to waking up in his room without knowing how he had got there. This time, though, his father was sitting next to the bed, and he didn't look very happy.
"Is something wrong?" asked Ricardo.
"Ricardo, do you know how you got to your room?"
"I assume that I was a little drunk. Did I make too much noise when I came in? I'm sorry if I woke you and Mum up."
"You didn't make any noise. You didn't come in. We carried you in. You were found unconscious on the floor in front of the lifts in the entrance hall. Do you have any idea how embarrassing it is to be informed of this by the doorman? Do you have any idea how upset and worried your mother and I are? Is this what you call social drinking? When will you admit that you've got a drinking problem? That's the first and the hardest step to take. If you like, we can call Alcoholics Anonymous and..."
"Hey, it's not that extreme, Dad," said Ricardo.
"Trust me, I'm not an alcoholic. I can change on my own, I promise. I'll stop going out so often and dedicate myself more to my studies."
"I'm not certain that you can change your habits without professional help," Ricardo's father said.
"I know that I can," said Ricardo. "Please, Dad, just trust me."
During the following week, Ricardo's parents were pleased to see that his habits had changed. He came straight home after school and stayed there every evening, studying. However, Ricardo began to feel pressure from Ole to spend more time with him. 2 days after Ricardo's discussion with his father, Raul confronted him in front of the school.
"Hey, Ricardo, where have you been? I haven't seen you for a few days."
"Sorry, Raul, I've just been very busy."
"Busy? Too busy to spend time with your friends? We're not good enough for you anymore, is that it?"
Ricardo didn't know what to say. He felt guilty that he was ignoring his new friends. There was also something in the way that Raoul was talking to him that made him feel threatened. He knew that Raoul wouldn't be very happy to hear the real reason for his absence from their parties in the park.
"Look, that's not the reason," he said at last. "It's just that, well, it's my parents. They've changed. They've become really conservative. They won't accept the fact that I'm practically an adult now and that I deserve my freedom. They want proof that I can be responsible. Until they receive the results from the next exams, they won't give me money to go out."
"Listen, don't worry about the money. We'll help you out until the exams," responded Raoul.
Ricardo wasn't happy about lying, but he didn't want Raoul to be angry.
"It's not that simple," he said. "They've threatened to throw me out of the house if I keep going out at night."
"God, parents can be such idiots," said Raoul. "Well, the next exams aren't for a couple of months. I suppose it could be worse. In the meantime, I've got a great idea. Let's go and buy some beers and forget about school for today."
Ricardo was forced to accept. If he said no, he would be contradicting his story. Anyway, he missed drinking. He missed the freedom from worry and the numb feeling that it gave him. He began to go drinking during school hours again. He also found the perfect way to drink during the day without his parents discovering what he was doing. He kept a strong mouthwash in his backpack. This helped hide the smell of alcohol on his breath. He also told his parents that he was helping his chemistry teacher with a project that forced him to leave school a little later, and that they shouldn't wait for him to start lunch. This way, he ensured that they would already be eating when he arrived. This reduced the amount of talking that he did with them and gave them less of an opportunity to notice if he was drunk. As soon as lunch was over, he went straight to his room to have a siesta. By the time he woke up, most of the effects of the alcohol had disappeared. After only a few weeks of this routine, Ricardo began needing to drink before going to bed as well. He started buying cartons of cheap wine on the way home and hiding them in his backpack. After he said goodnight to his parents, he locked himself in his room and drank the wine. Within a week, he was drinking 2 liters of wine a night and then passing out. The only thing that his parents noticed was that Ricardo seemed to have less energy than usual, but they attributed this lack of energy to his increased schoolwork. 2 weeks later, Ricardo arrived home and found his mother crying and his father packing a suitcase. "What's wrong?" he asked.
"It's your Uncle Rodrigo," answered his father. "He's had a very bad motorcycle accident, and he's in intensive care in hospital. We're flying out to the Canary Islands on the first available flight. Will you be okay here on your own?"
"Don't worry about me," said Ricardo. "Just call me and tell me how he is." Less than a minute after his parents had got into a taxi, Ricardo called Raúl and arranged to meet him that evening. Pablo went to the cinema that evening, and his walk home from there took him past the park where Raúl and his group drank. As he walked past them, he was both surprised and saddened to see Ricardo there again. He tried unsuccessfully to walk past them without being noticed.
"Hey, Pablo, come here!" cried Ricardo.
"What are you doing here?" asked Pablo as he approached the group. "I thought your parents didn't let you go out anymore."
"They've gone to the Canary Islands for the weekend. The minute I saw them get into the taxi, I came here."
"Wait," said Raúl. "They took a taxi to the airport?"
"Yeah, what's strange about that?" said Ricardo.
"Well, that means that you can use their car, right?"
"I'm not normally allowed to use it unless one of them is with me," said Ricardo. "Remember, I still don't have a driving license."
"Don't worry about that," said Raúl. "Your parents will never find out that you used it. Come on, there's a great party tonight about 20 kilometers outside town. There'll be plenty of alcohol and girls."
"Wait for me here," said Ricardo. "I'll be back in 10 minutes with the car." Pablo walked away from the group with Ricardo.
"Ricardo, this is crazy and dangerous," he said. "There are 6 of you. It's illegal to have so many people in your parents' car. You don't have a driving license, and you're very drunk. Please, don't do this."
"Leave me alone. If you don't want to have some fun, go home like a good little boy," called Ricardo as he walked towards his house. Pablo continued trying to convince Ricardo to change his mind until they reached the car. He was convinced that something bad was going to happen. Ricardo was very drunk. He couldn't walk straight, and he was slurring his speech. When they reached the car, Pablo made one last attempt to stop Ricardo from taking it.
"Please, don't do it," he begged. "Go home and get some sleep. You'll be happy that you did tomorrow morning."
"Didn't I tell you to go home, little boy?" said Ricardo.
"Okay, then let me drive. I haven't drunk anything," Pablo suggested.
"This is my family's car. I'm driving it," exclaimed Ricardo.
He pulled Pablo away from the door of the car and got into the driver's seat. Pablo got into the front passenger seat. He couldn't leave Ricardo alone with the car. Maybe he could convince him to return home before they picked up Raúl and his friends. Ricardo didn't need to remember any more. Lying in the hospital bed all day had brought back all the memories of that terrible night. Pablo was right. he was a pathetic alcoholic. During the rest of his stay in hospital, he spent most of his time thinking about the mistakes that he had made. The night before he was due to go home, Ricardo walked to Pablo's hospital room and knocked on the door. "Come in." Ricardo's guilt increased when he saw his friend. Neither of them said anything for a few minutes. Finally, Ricardo spoke. "Pablo, I understand that you're very angry with me and that you don't want to be my friend anymore. I just want to say again that I'm very, very sorry about what has happened. You're right. I've got a serious problem. I want you to know that I've called Alcoholics Anonymous. My first meeting with them is tomorrow evening. Well, that's all I have to say. It's just, I'm sorry. I was an idiot." Ricardo turned to leave. "Hey!" Pablo called after him. "Yes?" "Ricardo, thanks for that. Saying sorry, I mean. Listen, let's leave what's happened in the past. I'm your friend, and I'll continue being your friend. Just do me a favor. Come and play poker with me occasionally, okay?" Ricardo smiled. "Okay." "Oh, there's one condition," Pablo continued. "What's that?" "You've got to let me win."